Good times and great music at 2NURFM 103.7. Time to check in with Professor Claire Collins from Nutrition from the University of Newcastle. And good morning, Claire. Today you will take a look at food additives, and very conveniently that happens to be your most recent No Money, No Time podcast in the last little bit. But food additives have a very long, long history. It's not just something that's appeared very recently. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mark. And that's true. You know, like, we don't just put food additives in for the sake of it. And historically, they were invented or, you know, made more available because they help keep food fresh and food lasts for longer. You know, I'm sure there's probably still some people who can remember when they'd have to go and bottle the peaches so that you could have them available all year round. But a lot of food additives, they're chemicals really designed to either keep the food fresher for longer or to enhance colour, flavour and texture. But the problem is that for some people, they're sensitive to some of these food additives, and that can be really challenging if that happens to be you.
All right, so as it has sort of the concept of food additives has sort of moved from more of that just a flat-out preservation through to the chemical additives type of scenario, have they become more bad for us, as
well,
we suspect?
I think it's more, Mark, that it goes from something where maybe occasionally you ate a food and it contained an additive to now regularly many people are eating a lot of different food additives. So manufacturers can't just put anything they want into food. It's actually governed by food law, and that's overseen by Food Standards Australia and New Zealand. And in the podcast notes, we actually put a link to that, because what I really like about their website is they've got a massive long list of all of those additives, and you can click on any of them to get more information. You know, and like, it's just huge. Anti-caking agents, antioxidants, emulsifiers, food additives, humectants, flavour enhancers, stabilisers, raising agents, gelling agents, you know, on and on and on. So I think the challenge for some of these things is they're not chemicals that your grandparents had in their kitchen. And so it's hardly surprising is that they're commonly added in what we call ultra-processed foods. And again, you know, that definition is something, yeah, that your grandparents couldn't make in a home kitchen.
So does that actually mean that, because that's what we sort of hear a lot, it's not something that you used to be able to just get, it has to sort of almost be a lab-created thing. So, I mean, is it a case of we just need to eat less foods of them, or is there, from what the study suggests, nothing to worry about at all?
I actually think you should try and eat less of these additives, but there are some people who are especially sensitive to them. Now, MSG is a good example because it occurs naturally. It stands for monosodium glutamate, and it is a flavour enhancer. And, you know, everyone's heard of Chinese food syndrome, you know, where you get the tummy ache and maybe a headache when you've eaten a lot of it. But it's found in fermented foods. Parmesan cheese, sardines, even tomatoes contain a bit of MSG. So the challenge is, if you're a person who's got some unusual symptoms, whether it's skin rashes or headaches or tummy upsets, and you think it might be food additives, you could keep a food diary and see if you can detect, oh, every time I eat that kind of food, this happens. But the key thing then is to go and follow up with your GP to get it checked out. There's one category, though, Mark, of food additives that have sort of come a little bit more under the spotlight for gut health, and that's the emulsifiers. And emulsifiers can affect your gut lining. Now, most people, you probably think of, oh, if I looked at my gut under a microscope, it's going to look like the inside of a garden hose. Well, it actually doesn't. It looks more like a hairbrush bristles when you magnify it, and all those teeny-weeny, you know, smaller than the size of a hair, little filaments, they're called villi, and they're very sensitive to being upset or knocked out. So some of these emulsifiers for some people can disrupt those villi, and then that can disrupt the bugs that normally live in your gut. They're called the microbiota. All of that can leave, it's like leaving you unprotected. You know, there's no sentries, there's no guards to protect your gut lining, and it can get damaged on the mucus wall, and then that makes you more sensitive to other food chemicals. So I just want to reassure people, if you go, wow, that really sounds like me, well, that could be you, but don't just, you know, trundle along and go, oh, well, I just have to tough it out. Make sure you go and get medical help, because there's lots of things that can be done for these inflammatory bowel conditions. And learning about food and food additives is only one step in, you know, helping you recover if you've got bowel problems.
All right, we just have to make sure we keep our internal hairbrush protected. As always, a pleasure on this one, Claire. And I know in your podcast you're covering that a little bit more in detail today. Where do we find you?
Yep, if you go to No Money, No Time and then click on the podcast tab and you've got the link to the podcast and to those other organisations who've got resources, you know, on this topic as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Claire. Have yourself a great couple of weeks.
Yeah, you too. You have a great holiday, Mark.
In a couple of weeks, absolutely. Thank you for your time. Professor Claire Collins from the University of Newcastle taking a look at food additives this morning right here at 2NUR FM 103.7.